It's Marketplace Tech for November 16th. I'm Ben Johnson in New York. We are now used to seeing breaking news on social media connected to episodes of violence like that in Paris a few days ago. Some of it is hard to watch, and not all of it is accurate. It comes nonetheless. Hashtags on Twitter were used hundreds of thousands of times to help find missing persons and offer shelter. Facebook also turned on its safety check feature, which uses location data to ask some users to check in so that friends and family know they're okay. Zeynep Tefekci is an assistant professor researching information and sociology at the University of North Carolina. Zeynep, you think that Facebook's tool was maybe the most effective here?
With 1.5 billion users around the world, it's the platform that pretty much everybody's at least a little bit on. Even if they're not that active, people use it almost like a directory. So it's much easier for people, instead of answering the phone 10 times or 20 times and calling lots of people, just to check in once.
This was the first time that the company used this feature in the wake of a terror attack. And there's been some conversation around why Facebook did it in this case and has not used the tool in other attacks recently, Beirut, some other places as well.
It's a great point in their release about this. They said, well, we value all people equally. So will they try to put a safety check every time an Iraqi suicide bombing event occurs or a Syrian one occurs? In fact, most victims of ISIS are in the Middle East. They're Muslim people. They've been dying in large numbers.
Do you think that the use of social media ends up being a net good?
Well, it could, and it could potentially be damaging. Watching this happen might give people a sense of why the refugees that are escaping Syria have been risking their lives. But on the other hand, I kind of worry that it might also feed outrage in ways that's not productive. Seeing the horror of it might increase pressure on politicians to do things that are, what's the right word for it, that look really tough. In a world of social media, we feel worse, we feel solidarity, but we may also push our politicians and demand easy answers when there are none.
Zeynep Tefekci is an assistant professor at the School of Information at the University of North Carolina. Zeynep, thank you very much.
Thank you.
If I told you I can manufacture diamonds really easily without having to mine them from the earth or extract them out of places with dubious labor practices, you might ask me where to swipe your card, right? Synthetic diamonds have been around for a while, but a new startup called Diamond Foundry, started by technologists from a solar power company called NanoSolar, says it's discovered a new technique for making new diamonds, with the goal of disrupting the diamond trade. Martin Roscheisen is Diamond Foundry CEO. Martin, why did you start this company?
It is an industry that has not seen its Tesla moment yet, so to speak. You know, every other industry, the car industry, earlier telecommunications, etc., have seen technological innovation happening and making things better in those industries. And the diamond industry has not seen that yet.
I know that some of the process is proprietary here, but can you describe it for me in the simplest of terms, how you're making these diamonds?
So our process leverages technology developed in the solar semiconductor industry to start with a natural diamond and add atom by atom to the natural diamond to grow it bigger. Once we have a larger grown diamond, we slice off the original diamond and reuse it any number of times to grow more and more diamonds.
Is part of the reason you're doing this also based in the sort of ethical questions that many people have about the way that their diamonds are sourced and how to get their diamonds in a responsible way?
Yeah. On the one hand, we are technologists and we're just fascinated about the material per se. You know, diamond is a superlative material in a dozen different ways. It's really a foundational material for future technological applications. On the other hand, there's $30 billion of diamond gem sales a year, a very ready market, in a market that's been in terrible disarray with horrendous practices. It felt like we can create a better choice now. Our diamonds are jewelry-grade diamonds. They're very pure diamonds. They yield beautifully sparkling gems. At the same time, we are shipping our diamonds to scientists around the world to explore new types of mostly high-tech applications.
Martin Roscheisen is the CEO of the new company Diamond Foundry. Martin, thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Ben.
And as the story goes, Facebook once tried to buy messaging company Snapchat for $3 billion, and Snapchat said, nah, we'll pass. Now the company has 100 million users and a new challenge, making money. Their latest attempt, so-called lenses that users can now buy for a buck a pop. Paresh Dave is a tech reporter at the LA Times. He says in-app purchases might work really well for Snapchat.
If you just look at the mobile gaming market and how much people spend on in-app purchases in games, so they're buying like energy boosts and these diamonds and virtual coins to do everything from get past a level quicker, to get a hint in a game, to get extra lives in a game, or to even just decorate their character, I think it's been sort of proven out that people are willing to pay for features or even decorative elements that they think make their experience better in an app.
Paresh Dave from the LA Times. I'm on Snapchat, by the way, though you won't see me dropping money on filters. You can add me. I'm ZEE Brock Johnson, and that's Marketplace Tech. This is APM.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.